Luke chapter 12, that's on page 1044 in your church Bibles. We'll be reading from verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13, page 1044. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God."
Thank you. And I'd love to invite the children and young people up the front to come and help me out. And also we'd say, grown-ups, if your child's a preschooler, so perhaps still new to sort of sitting down and listening, do come up with them and keep them on your knee just to kind of help us out. I've been competing before with dancing toddlers and stuff. It's a tough gig. So up they come. We want them all involved. But preschoolers with a grown-up would be a great help. Thank you. Brilliant. Lots of you here. Fantastic. Welcome back from your summer holidays. Brilliant to see you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining me up the front here. Now, we've just been listening to God's word. So I'm going to pray and ask for God's help to understand it. Is that a good idea? Is that all right? So let's just shut our eyes and we're going to pray and ask God. Father, thank you so much that you do speak to us, that you draw near, and by your Spirit you change us and point us to you in the power of the Lord Jesus. And so we pray now that you would just help us to learn, to have lives lived differently as we leave, whether we're a young person at the front, someone slightly less young further back. Lord, please help us all just to sit under your voice now to listen and learn. And to love you more as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. Brilliant. So Jesus told a very, very simple short story. He's brilliant at them. And we're going to meet the man that he tells us about. Here he is. He was my friend, Mr. Farmer. Got it? Okay, you can all see him. He's a very happy man. He's a very happy man because that summer, verse 16 tells us Mr. Farmer had a massive harvest. Which means when he took the tractors out and he took the combine harvesters out, there was so much stuff. It was amazing. He had never known anything like it. And in this drought-afflicted year, most of European farmers are desperate for such a sort of thing. Mr. Farmer had so much wonderful produce, but that gave him a massive problem. But he was still smiling. He was still smiling. Because he had this big problem that he had to solve, didn't he? Who knows what the problem was? Can you imagine what the problem... Yes, Callum? He had too much. He had too much. It's like not just one box of chocolates, it's like 10. Is that too much? I don't know. He had so much. It was a massive harvest, but gave him a massive problem. So, verse 17 tells us, he thought to himself, he scratched his head. He thought, get out the iPad. Do a few sums, work a few things out, went back to school, got his maths books out and thought, hang on a minute, I know what I'll do. He's a genius. He says, I'll smash down my silly little barns and build myself massive barns. Problem solved. Now, what could he put inside the barns? Shout it out. All the wheat, all the crops, all the stuff. And then when he went to market and sold all the stuff and bought bigger, fancier tractors, he's got somewhere to put them. All the stuff he could buy with all the wonderful crops that he'd been given, he suddenly knew what to do with. I'll just smash down my small barns, build myself bigger ones. He said, I'll be set for life. Do you know what he says, verse 19? He sums it up. And the one verse I forgot to print out on my thing, he says this. He says this, verse 19, as he looks at all those wonderful barns. He says, I'll say to myself, look, I've plenty stored up for many years. No wonder he's smiling. I'll take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. He says, this is absolutely brilliant. I've hit the jackpot of life. He sums it up by saying, in many ways, let's pop this here. Does someone like to hold? Can someone come up the front and hold this? Brilliant. Yeah, I'll be coming, actually. Brilliant. You've been up front before, but that means you've earned this. I'll be coming. You hold Mr. Farmer. Brilliant. There you go. Got it? Okay. Come on. Well done. There's Mr. Farmer. So he says, in summary, I've got treasure, leisure, and pleasure. Right. Treasure. First word. Hands up if you've got a piggy bank. Not everyone. Some have got piggy banks. But yes, a few piggy. Some of you are going to find out these things. When he was trying to put his money in his piggy bank, he couldn't fit any more in. It was full. He had so much. The bank had written to him saying, Mr. Farmer, I think you'll find we have a slightly better account for your balance at the moment. He was doing fine. He was doing really well. He had so much treasure. He said, this is what I've lived for. I'm made. I'm set. So do you know what? Stay there. This doesn't sum it up. This does not sum it up. What he was... he was way happier. Bigger Mr. Farmer, bigger smile. He was so made up. He was so happy. I've got all the toys, all the sweets, all the games, all the fun, everything in the garden, everything at home. I've got the latest iPhone. In fact, I'm going to have the latest iPad as well, just because I can. I'll go Android and iOS because I can. He had everything he could ever want. He thought, oh, do you know what? I will get that extension done on the house. In fact, I'm just going to buy myself another house. And oh, I love going on holiday. So I'm going to buy an island so I can go on holiday more often. He had so much stuff. He was sorted. Joking aside, it meant that as he saw the headlines on the BBC about fuel crises, he said, I'm fine. He didn't have to worry. He was going to be okay. Can you imagine being in that situation? He had treasure, but he also had leisure. Okay, so let's see what that means. He says, this is what I've lived for. He's still smiling. He's still smiling. You're listening well. He's got leisure. Do you know what leisure means? It means you play in the park whenever you want all the time. Sound good? It means you go to rivers and build dams every day.
Fun.
Exactly. It just means fun. Hands up if you managed to have a nice time over the summer holidays just now. Hands up if you've got to go to school tomorrow. Mr. Farmer doesn't. Okay? He's done. 3 days to go to school, and that's brilliant. Don't that's a brilliant thing. It's really fun. It's great. But holidays are really, really wonderful too, aren't they? Can you imagine the holiday? I guess we might get bored, but no more alarm clocks, anyone? Sound pretty good? No more Zoom meetings? Yes. No more maybe having to scan the inbox in bed late at night. Just done. He says, you know what? I'm going to retire at 45. Yes, he's made it. This is what I've lived for, he said. He's got treasure, he's leisure, he's got pleasure. That's the final one. He says, I'll eat, drink, and be merry. I'll basically do what I want, when I want, how I want. He's really happy. He's not doing anything wrong, but he is really absolutely happy. And do you know what? Look how happy he is. Archie, thanks so much. You have a seat. Look how happy he was. Look at his smile. He was so happy. Of course he was. He had treasure. He had leisure, pleasure. He said, you can just relax now. Everything is sorted. That's what he said to himself. But God said in verse 20, you absolute fool. Everybody still with us? It was deliberate. Can we get an ambulance to the back row, please? He said, you fool. You absolute fool. That's what God said.
It popped.
He said, because you've got all this stuff, and yet this night, God says, your life's over. And then who's going to get all the stuff in all the barns that you've laid up for you? God says, you're a silly man. So clear, isn't it? He says, your time is up, your life is over. Now what? Now what? Guys, you listened really well. I tell you what, a popping balloon gets attention. I'm going to remember that. Now, Mr. Farmer, as far as God is concerned, is Mr. Fool. Mr. Fool. Can you imagine looking God in the eye and being told, you're just a fool? Now, let's just think very briefly why. Had Mr. Farmer done anything naughty? something, everything naughty. I read the Bible, I can't see anything naughty. There's no sense from Jesus he's done anything illegal or wrong. He's not embezzled his money. He's not a man of crypto, which must be some dodgy Ponzi scheme, isn't it? He's not done anything wrong. He's just received a harvest. It's been brilliant. And he's got all the profits. He's not done anything wrong. Do you know what the problem was? It was all given from God, and it didn't even occur to him to thank God or ask God, what do I do now? What do I do now with all you've given me? You know verses 18 and 19? Verses 18 and 19, grown-ups, if you've got a Bible open, you'll find it interesting, I think. You'll see it in the way it's translated. He sort of says, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build myself bigger ones. There I will store. There is no other two verses in the Bible with that many personal pronouns, me, myself, and I. Jesus is making a very clear point. Mr. Farmer totally ignores God, which makes him a fool. And the Bible calls that sin. And do you know how we know, can remember what sin means? Who can spell sin for me? Shout it out. Sir. Brilliant.
Sin.
S-I-N. What's the middle letter of sin? I. Me in the middle. Me at the center. And God says that is to be a, Jesus says that God thinks that's to be a total fool. Because what we really need is what God really gives. And that is when Jesus dies on the cross for our sin, that we'd live for him. He says only a fool, in light of that, would be rich to themselves and not to God. So children, as we finish, you've listened really well. Grown-ups, I'm going to come back to you in a moment. Children, I want you to remember one thing this morning. How many things?
200.
One, actually. 200, I'll be in trouble. One thing this morning to us to remember. Ready? God is amazing. Can you say that? God is amazing. That's all I want you to remember. God is absolutely amazing. And so all you're to do is think about is he is so kind and so amazing is to think whether you're going to school tomorrow, whether you're at home this afternoon, your brothers and sisters, is what would God want me to do today? Can you remember that for me? What would God... What if I ask you to remember?
Yes.
Yeah, good try. I want you to remember, God is amazing, so what would God have me do today? Right, children, young people, as you go back to your seats, I want you to remember one thing, which was, shout it out. God is amazing, helped by someone less young but young at heart. Thank you very much indeed. Now, grown-ups, just as we draw this together, just as the children retake their seats, I'll just keep you for a few extra moments, just as we think about what this means. It's such a powerful story. I thought about it so much more this week, realizing that in such a short parable that I kind of thought was, you know, simple enough. There are so many layers which we won't be able to go into all this morning at all. But just to really focus on that very funny phrase as Jesus sums it up. What is it to be rich to God? That's what the warning is all about, isn't it? As he answers the question about the inheritance and warns against the sense of greed, being rich, not being rich to God is the problem, is the warning. What does he mean? First thing to be really clear, it's not, can I have your money please, says Jesus. He's not talking about money. It's much broader than that. I think the way we understand what he means by that summary in 21 of being rich to God is that clearly Mr. Farmer, Mr. Fool, Jesus is saying, had been rich to himself. He thought of himself and he lived for himself. And so therefore, I guess by implication, to be rich to God means to think of God and live for him. I think two simple ways we can think what that means lived out. Gratitude and godliness. Gratitude and godliness. You see, at no point in the story are the barns or the harvest or the produce and the profits deemed anything of a problem. They aren't the problem per se. No, it's the priorities. And clearly, Mr. Farmer, Mr. Fool, has forgotten that God is the proprietor of the whole estate. He owns that estate. The barns that the farmer has are sitting on the Lord's land. He's a tenant farmer. The Lord provides the harvest and clearly anything and everything the man's going to buy with the profits and proceeds and fills it with. And it just never occurs to him to have God at the center. And so gratitude and godliness are miles from his heart. Look down with me again, very briefly. I won't keep you long. But verse 17, where he encounters this problem, asks himself a question, and then makes a statement. Just read verse 17 with me as I rework it with what I think might look like being rich to God. Imagine if it said, he thought to himself and prayed to God and said, Father, thank you for all you've blessed me with. I'm not quite sure what to do now. But above all, what would you have me do with it for you? Verse 18, you've entrusted me to steward everything you've given me. Help me bless and reveal you to others, that they might come to saving faith and knowledge of you too. See the difference? It's just a completely different attitude. He needed an attitude, a gratitude. The problem wasn't the produce or the profits, his priorities, forgetting who was proprietor. That would have been gratitude, just saying thanks. And the godliness, well, that is asking what now? A godliness which says, Lord, it's basically yours, it just comes through my hands. What do you want me to do with it? And we might well think, Mr. Farmer, just widen the scope a bit, the time, the money, the talents, anything that the Lord has entrusted us with, who we are. How would we use ourselves and all we have for the purpose of the God who gave them to us? And so it's right we ask, you know, what are our barns today? Very few of us are farmers. Well, for this man, it's obvious it's the equivalent. It's those things we place our security in. He thought he had treasure, leisure, pleasure. It's what he'd live for. He was made. And so our barns, our careers, education, family, pension, holidays, bank account, decent mortgage rate, decent interest rate, decent utility rate, the ability to work, rest, and play. Do we need to remember that they are all God's things given to us? And so what might it look like to simply be grateful and godly with those things? Your career, God's career. You at work, living for him. Your home, your parenting, your bank account, your diary, the Lord's. How would you use it for him? And this side of the cross and the risen Lord Jesus, do we not even know a bit more than perhaps Mr. Farmer, Mr. Fool here? We rightly understand the gospel. How would we not want to be rich to God in response? Grateful and godly. Now, I'm not saying that at a time that I understand everyone is facing real financial pressures and uncertainty. Not wanting to make light of that reality. Some in the room will be seeing the headlines, concerned more for others because it won't be a huge impact. Others, very concerned for self. It's not to make light of that, but it is to assure us in that, through that, that in the gospel we've received in Christ a treasure that not even death can take. That is the security of the gospel. How might that truth help us live rich to God, even in fears of pandemics and fuel prices? Let me just close with a story of a friend of mine, John, who sold his business a few years ago now. He's a bit older than me, and I was a brand new Christian, and he was a friend of mine. And I looked up to John a lot, and he just took me under his wing and explained how to live as a Christian man and things. And he sold his business, and he did well. Not ridiculously well. He wasn't a hedge fund manager, but he did fine. And he gave some choices. And I remember asking him, John, I just wonder, you know, it must be very difficult for you to know how much to give away. And he said some words that stuck with me. He says, now, Adam, when you know all that God has done for you in Christ and now given you, the question you ask is, how much do I dare keep? How much do I keep? A newly retired man at 50 with money and time, what do I do? Grateful and godly. Finally, perhaps for those who aren't yet a Christian this morning, it's lovely to have you here. You're not quite sure perhaps who God is or what Christ has done, why any of this matters, and you seem stuck on the sense of it just sounds like they do want me to give my money. Well, Jesus gently but very clearly warns here, doesn't he, that to live for anything in this world other than him is to be a fool. It looks very pragmatic. It will be applauded by all your friends and the culture around us as being very sensible. Jesus says, don't be a fool. Put God at the center, living life not to gain all that you can, but in response to the salvation that only he gives. Let me pray as we wrap it up. Loving Father, we do pray you'd help us to be rich towards you in light of the gospel that we share in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, even in an all-age service, to go away today really thinking, what will it look like for me to be more rich, to be less trusting in my barns of security, to make sure that God isn't just another barn, but is the owner of all my barns. Help us to think about our time, our money, our talents, that we'd be more rich. Protect us from the subtle ways which we kid ourselves, that we'd be more secure, more happy, if we place our confidence in the wrong things. Please help us to be individually and collectively as a church family rich to you, that it would strengthen our faith and lead others to faith too. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.